Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky has been teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Curses are spiritual forces. They tend to hang in the air until somebody taps into them. Listen, if God says something like a blessing to Abraham, that blessing remains in the air and come upon anybody that does the works of Abraham. In the same manner, if a curse is released by the actions of certain people, anybody who agrees with those actions will be cursed in the same manner as those people who ignited those things. The way by which you break the curse generated by the ancestors is not to do the works of the ancestors. What you need to do is to look at the works of the people and renounce their works. If you do that, you have automatically stepped away from curse into blessing. Save me according to your loving kindness, and let them know that this is your hand. You, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but your servant shall be glad. If God has blessed you, you are too big for the curse from anybody.
Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, today I want to continue what we have been discussing for the last two episodes on this issue of breaking the curses in your life. Amongst the points that we have made in the past, we have said that curses are real. Nobody should deceive you that they are not. They are spiritual forces that work against what we call the blessing. The blessing being the empowerment to succeed, the empowerment to have good judgment, the empowerment to get results in life. A curse is that which Satan helps to initiate or incites people to initiate in their own lives, which they do by working against the order of God. And that when a curse has been set into motion, what it does is to cripple the ability to succeed. So the man gets into what they call the near-miss syndrome. He just manages. Last moment, things go wrong. When he has plotted and has attempted and he has done his best to get results, the very last moment, something goes wrong. At the end of the day, men begin to call the man unlucky. We said the blessed man is a lucky man. That is, when a man is blessed, it will appear as if he's just lucky. Like Solomon, we say, time and chance will begin to happen to him in his favor. Now, we have discussed a number of things about how curses come, because we said that without a curse, there will not be a curse. That is, a curse that is causeless. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2 says that it will not land on its intended victim. That tells us something. That people can try to pronounce curses on people. And no matter what people say, you know, it's a very common thing that maybe somebody will just tell you, I know go better for you. They listen, it does not mean anything. But a man that you unjustly did wrong to, that says it will not be well with you, the Bible said that you have given a curse to his curse, and it will not be well with you. So for that reason, we say it is important we identify the various causes of curses. And last week, we settled on two important things. We talked about the descendants of Gehazi and the sons of Eli. Who are the descendants of Gehazi? Those who obtain things by fraud. Who are the sons of Eli? Those who, because of their greed, have no respect for holy things. Those who will defraud large numbers of people, who will take money that's meant to help those who are poor, and because those are the sacrifices of God. Those who will rig their pumps so that they can make more money. Those who will lie while doing business just to get out of people more than they are supposed to justly pay for the services or the goods that they are obtaining. Now, we said those are the sons of Eli. And that what God does to the descendants of Gehazi is that he puts a blemish upon them that for the rest of their generations, they will become an example of how not to live life. We said that the sons of Eli, on the other hand, they tend to die in one day. That a man builds a business. We said the son of a man, figuratively speaking now, refers to the labors of his hand. He has labored in academics for 20 years. He has built a business for decades. He has labored in the profession for years. That in one day he will lose everything because he has invoked a curse upon himself. Now, I made a point which I want to emphasize again. That because, you see, I quickly dispelled of the issue of generational curses as if it can be used to absolve people of their responsibilities. As if people will say that I failed because my fathers did something. We said that even though there are generational curses, There are things that ancestors could have ignited, and the thing is hanging in the air, that a man needs to, either in his heart or in his hands, agree with the works of his ancestors before the generational curses can come upon him. That is, without doing anything special, beyond believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood has washed away all generational curses, if he does not do anything beyond that, all he needs to do is just ignore to do the works of his fathers, he will discover that the curses cannot alight upon him. And we said that is a fact, that God gives everybody the opportunity to do what the other people did or not to do what the other people did. If I may just quickly use this again to warn us young Nigerians, we have to understand that a nation like Nigeria, very few people are real players. Everybody is a commentator. We all sit down and watch as if we are not on the field, when in reality we are on the field. We watch what everybody else has done wrong. We don't watch what we are doing wrong. We get up and say that our leaders, our former leaders, people in previous times, have wrecked the nation for us, we young people. But what we don't understand is that while saying that, we are using that as the excuse to do the same works that will entrench us further into poverty and into problems. A man will say, because the country is bad, you cannot make money without cheating. A man will say, because the country is bad, you have to defraud the government or defraud your society to be able to make money. What he doesn't understand, that the very things he wanted to use to escape from poverty is the thing that sends him into poverty. That Solomon said that the man with the evil eye runs after wealth, but does not know that poverty will come upon him. The book of Proverbs chapter 28 verse 22. Now these are amongst the things that we have said. And today I want to examine some more things. But don't forget this in everything that we are saying. Jesus is indeed the savior of the world. What he did was to take away the curses that are in your life and make it so that there is no longer a cause for them to alight upon you. The reason being that he washes away your past, he forgives your iniquities. And that is the power of his resurrection. That is, nobody can use Satan as an excuse anymore. Nobody can use his ancestors as an excuse. That you cannot say somebody dirtied you when you have been supplied with water and soap. And that's the reason why you are dirty. There is water and there is soap. Yes, you have been dirtied. We have all been dirtied. But the dirty man is the one now that refuses to take the water and the soap that he has been supplied and use it. And I said that the blood of Jesus is that water and soap that we need to cleanse away our past and free us from curses. Now, what I want to emphasize today is about laying a solid foundation for your tomorrow. This is very important. And I want to read from the book of Ecclesiastes to emphasize that point. Solomon was speaking, reading from chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. He said, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes." He said, "Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart, and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." Now, what was this explaining here? Now, this is something we've discussed in the past. I just think we need to emphasize it because people need to understand it. Life is in seasons. In previous sessions, we have talked again and again about seed time and harvest. God said to Noah, after he came out from the ark following the flood, he said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease." Life is made up of seasons. Here, Solomon is telling us something. There is a crucial period that is called the days of childhood and the days of young manhood. He said that, know that whatever you do in this season, God will bring you to judgment for all of them. I want you to notice something. There are two things you find very commonly during these days of young manhood. He said, one, there is what is called the impulses of the heart. And number two, there are the desires of the eyes. That these are the seasons in life where these things struggle to control the life of a person. That are you going to do? What are you going to do with the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes? You can follow them to the limit, or you can use the word of God to keep them in check. Because the Bible said, if you read Psalm 119, he said, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" He said he can do it by keeping it according to your word. That is, the impulses of a man's heart, a young man, and the desires of a young woman's eyes cannot lead him in the way of uprightness. It cannot lead him in the path of justice. It cannot lead him in the path of prosperity. That what he needs to do is to use the word of God to teach him or her the right things to do. Now, this is very important because it is what you do during the days of young manhood that decide what the rest of your life will be. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up while talking about breaking the curses in your life. You will remember I said something last time that Daniel, when he spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, if judgment is coming, there is a method by which judgment can be averted. He said, that method is that of repentance. Now, there is something we have to understand. He said, there is childhood. A child is purely a reflection of what a society is. If you have parents that don't know God, who live life loosely, they cannot do anything about having a loose child and a wicked child and a careless child. That is natural. They can't do anything about it. Children are purely the reflection of their parents. That's why they are called the glory of the parents. A glory is a manifestation of your character. Your glory is a manifestation of your person. How do I know the kind of person you are? What I see in your life is your glory. If you see a child that uses swear words and behaves very, very rashly, go to his house. He is not being trained. There is no child that is being trained that you will not see the reflection upon him. God says, therefore, to the children of Israel at the point in time, he said, you see, your daughters have become harlots and your sons are whoremongers. They chase after harlots. He said, but I will not punish your daughters. I will not punish your sons. He said, the reason being that they are simply a reflection of what their parents are. That was why when they were leaving for the promised land from Egypt and they rebelled against God, God said, everyone will die apart from those who are under the age of 20. He was describing that as childhood. That is, they have only echoed what everybody else is saying. You go to the Nigerian street, typical Nigerian person today, he knows nothing about what happens in Abuja. He does not know what happens in the seat of the governor in his state, but he criticizes everything from the president to the local government councillors, yet he cannot even identify them at 12 noon. But he's saying what everybody else is saying. He has no understanding. God says, I will not judge him because he's a reflection of his society. But there is a point that everybody comes to in life. Listen to this. That is what is called young manhood. That is the time when God begins to demand accountability from you. When God will have given you opportunities to know wicked parents and know righteous men. When God will have given you the opportunity to read stories of righteousness and see the effects of wickedness. At the end of the day, anything you do is purely your choice. You have to understand what I'm trying to say here. God knows what he's doing. There are times he comes and brings judgment. The Bible says that without remedy. The reason being that he has given men the opportunity, but they have refused it. Let me say this to you. If you're a young man and you are listening to me, before now, everybody was a thief in your society. Therefore, you stole. You claimed that all your leaders were crooks. Therefore, you stole also. But you have heard me speak. You have heard other people warn you about the righteousness and the judgment of God. If you still go on in iniquity, it is now purely your choice. You have to get this point very clear. When Jesus pardoned the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus was not just showing her mercy. Jesus was showing her understanding. He said, you are a sinful and an adulterous generation. This woman is a reflection of what you all are. And anyone who is going to judge her must be one that has never committed adultery. He wasn't saying those who have never sinned, as if you have never lied or taken somebody else's thing. He said, if you are there amongst you men and you have never been involved in immoral sexual activities, cast the first stone. Therefore, there was nobody there that was able to judge this woman. So he looked at her and says, go and sin no more. What he was saying is that next time you are caught in the act of adultery, you will be punished, and that without remedy. The reason being that he has come to the face of the righteousness of God. He has come to see God, to see holiness. So Jesus gave her another opportunity in life, not to be simply a reflection of an evil and a perverse generation. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That these young men, oftentimes, all they think about is crookedness, because titles were given to thieves in their villages. Armed robbers were given titles and they were made men of honor. But God said, a time is coming when no longer will the crook be spoken of as generous. And I'm warning young men today that the season has passed that a crook will receive a title. Are you getting my point? That is, if you want to be blessed in your life, you are in the season as a young man to do the right things so that the blessing will follow you in future. Don't forget, I talked about seed time and harvest in the past, and I'm talking about it again today. That what we call curses a lot of times, that old men experience, what we call blessing, that a grown man experiences, it is not at the time of looking for it that he gets it. I like one thing a great man, teacher of faith, used to say. He said, if you come to look for faith the time that you need it, you waited too late. That the time you look for faith is when you don't really need it yet. You come to God in the time when you do, you are not under pressure. What am I saying? You don't come to righteousness when the judgment of old men has come. Listen, if God chastises you as a young man, it is for you to understand the dealings of the Lord and for you to learn righteousness. Please understand what I'm trying to say here. That is a lot of people who start going from one miracle meeting to another, looking for the God of miracle that will answer them today to day. What is really happening is that they have reached the point of Esau in which judgment has come now, and they are looking for repentance with tears, but they cannot find it. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Now, that is not the portion of young men. God says that it is the season in which impulses in your life, in your heart, and desires of your heart will be competing against the order of God for your life. And the one that you choose will determine what your future will be. Whether you will be a director of a great company when you are 50 years old, or you will be a beggar at the gate of the same company, is being decided now that you are 20 and you are 25. If you don't sleep, you stay up all night trying to defraud one white man with all kinds of story, calling yourself name like John Kayochi, when your real name is Maker Okeke, hoping that somebody will forward money into your account. You will get the money, you will buy the car, but a number of things will happen to you. You either die in the crashing of that car, or you will use that car till you become broke and sell it off and return back to trekking. And at the age of 50, your neighbors will use you as a story to warn their children of how on how not to live life. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to underscore here. Now listen to what I'm trying to say to you. There is a season of young manhood. It is what you do now that determines what your future will be. When the works you are doing today, either following the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, or following the righteousness of God, when the effect begins to come manifest many years to come, it will appear as if you have been cursed. That's what I'm talking about. That the way you break the curse in your life ahead of time is by departing from iniquity. Don't forget, last time I read something to us from Daniel chapter 4, when Daniel was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. He told Nebuchadnezzar simply in verse 27, he said, break off from doing wickedness, break off from oppressing the poor, break off from all your evil deeds, and perhaps God will lengthen the days of your prosperity. I am saying that Daniel was a man of understanding, a prophet of God. He understood that if a man breaks off from doing wickedly, then his future is guaranteed. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say. That is not when you are old, you start running out for somebody to pray for you. You start going to a prophet that will tell you there is a witch in your village. Listen, the witch in your village lives in your heart. The witch in your town lives in your hands. The witch is actually inside your shop. As you do your business, the integrity of your heart with which you do the things that you are doing, that is what determines whether you will be blessed or you will be cursed. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. So, what do you do during the days of young manhood? Remember I said at the beginning that God has poured forth a blessing and Satan has ignited curses. There are all kinds of blessings in the air. The chiefest of them all is what we call the blessing of Abraham, which comes to everybody through Christ Jesus. How do you get the blessing of Abraham? You repent of your sins, you forsake your past, and ask Jesus to cleanse you by the power of his blood. That is how you get the blessing of Abraham. But there are curses, many of them in the air. The Bible said the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked man. If you want the wrath of God to pursue you every day, deal wickedly. I see young boys sometimes, you know, they do all kinds of things to young women. You know, you entice a woman into a corner and you rape her. You don't get the point. You have raped your future. You have raped your business. You have raped your prosperity. If that girl tells you it will never be well with you, listen to me, especially when she followed you with integrity of her heart and followed you because she trusted you, then it will never be well with you. But if you are like that, don't forget, there is repentance available for you. Listen to what I'm saying. If you are a man building up business, now I need to say this because this is one of the reasons why men don't prosper. Let me emphasize this again. There is a problem with men who begin to make money. Solomon says something in Ecclesiastes. He said, I began to seek to understand the things happening under the sun. He said, one of the things I did was to gather for myself the pleasures of all men. What is that? Many concubines. Now, but you have to understand something. Adultery is a wicked thing. The impulses of the heart. One of the impulses in the hearts of young men is immorality, following after all kinds of sexual activities. Now, you have to understand this. Some people say AIDS is the judgment of God, AIDS is the judgment, is a work of Satan. Whatever it is a work of iniquity. I hope you're getting my point. But it is more than that that adultery does. Even without AIDS, a man who marries what the Bible calls the wife of his youth. That is, you married a woman when you were nothing, and she believed in you, and together you began to build life. Then one day they make you a minister. One day they make you a commissioner. One day you become a big contractor. Or your business grows up to a very large extent. Now you can afford every kind of woman that you want. Then you go into adultery. What you have done is to cap your business at that particular level. And what you have done is to ensure that your life will not be prolonged. That is why Solomon said, I have observed that there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. He said, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. I'm explaining something here. You have to get your mentality correct. You have to get your principles in life sound now, because it is unto you according to the state of your heart. There are people that have hearts that are cursed already by God. You know, I said something, that there are curses in the air. There are blessings in the air. You tap into the one you want. You tap into blessing by doing righteously, and you tap into curses by doing wickedly. So I was explaining that, you see, as a young man, as a young woman, what you will become in future is being determined today. That's what I'm saying. And that, you see, success, progress, prosperity, and all the things that happen in life come spontaneously when you have done the right things at the right time, or you have done the wrong things at the times that judgment is being counted. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, what you do as a young man is what determines what your life will be in the future. We said that when you say there is a curse, most curses are bought with the works of the people's hands. Most curses in the lives of people are not ancestral. Most curses in the lives of people are not the ones that one old woman in the village is invoking upon them by reading incantations and making sacrifices. If your life is pleasing to God, like we read from Psalm 109, it said, let them curse, but you, O Lord, will bless. And a man that is blessed by God can never be cursed by anybody. You have to understand the principle behind that one of Balaam. Balaam is a type of such people. Balaam was a powerful man, so powerful. Look, that was not Balak's first experience with Balaam. He had won battles before using the help of Balaam. Are you getting my point? But when it came to the children of Israel, it was clear that there was no enchantment possible, because these people were living under the covenant of God. They were living in the blessing of Abraham. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm explaining that the time that judgment came upon them, it was when they took their own hands and bought into iniquity. It was never because Balaam was cursing them. So most people in life, they blame witches. Anytime they go to church to pray, it is all my enemies. Their enemies are forever falling down and scattering. But let me explain something to you. Your enemies are absolutely irrelevant if you are dwelling in the secret places of the Most High. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That, you see, I can't remember, God is my witness, praying about my enemies. All I know is that I am a blessed man and my enemy is a frustrated person. If you don't like me, it's your personal problem. I will still make progress. If you are angry with me, the Bible says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. It is you that will perish out of the way. Listen, success in life can never come by trying. There is so much to do in life that a natural human effort cannot bring it to pass. There is so much to overcome in life that the strength lying down within a man is not enough to bring it to pass. That is what is called blessing. That is what is called grace. That grace begins to flow in your direction if your life is pleasing to God. I'm emphasizing something today about the various seasons of life. That there is childhood, in which everything that you did was a reflection of what your society is, was a reflection of what your parents believed, was a reflection of what your community engaged in. Then in the days of young manhood, your own impulses begin to arise, and God gives you the opportunity to renounce the things of childhood and to follow the impulses of your heart, or to follow the righteousness of God. If you follow the righteousness of God, then your future is guaranteed. Don't forget that. Your future is actually a reward. We talked about seed time and harvest time. The time we should all be concerned about. Listen, I tell young men every time I preach that there is nothing wrong with being broke when you are 25. There is nothing wrong with it. There is nothing wrong with having only a pair of shoes when you are 23. There is absolutely wrong, nothing wrong with it. You don't have to envy a young boy that's driving a car because I mean, two of you are the same age and both of you are 22. If your father is not rich, he's not rich. It is not a sin. It is not iniquity. There is nothing you can do about it. If his father is rich, he has not sinned. This is just a fact of life. There is nothing wrong with being poor when you are young. And let me tell young women, there is absolutely nothing wrong with marrying a man when he's in that kind of state. That is a fact about life. The time that it is wrong to be poor, the time that it is a sign of God's judgment to be in lack, is when you're a middle-aged man, is when you're an old man. You understand my point? When your strength begins to abate, that is the time that you must not be poor. And at that such times, your prosperity is not determined by what you are doing now, but by the spiritual seeds you sowed when you were young. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you should learn to sow seeds for the future. You should learn to invoke blessings heavily upon your tomorrow. Like they say in my place, that if a man wants to step on cool ground, he has to throw cold water forwards. Are you getting my point? You don't keep on watering the place where you are now, intending to step into cooler places in front. No, you do righteously. That is what takes prosperity into your future. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Then when you get there, you will find out that there is no cause possible. All the people who are blaming their enemies, blaming witches, and blaming their in-laws, and blaming their uncles, and blaming one auntie that is not educated, a lot of them are absolutely indisciplined. I have seen people that if they tell you good morning, you have to check out and see whether it is really morning, lest it be midnight, for the amount of lies that they tell. Yet, when their business is in trouble, the pastor says a witch is living in their house. I say, if that witch is living in your house, it is true. I know where he or she is living. He's living actually in your heart. It's a lying witch. It's a deceiving witch. It's a witch that has instigated you into not having integrity. You should rebuke that witch away from your heart with the blood of Jesus. Not trying to pursue a physical human being that's living 200 kilometers away from you that really does not care whether you survive or you fail. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. Real witches dwell in our hearts. That is, our iniquities, our works are the witches that plague our tomorrow. If we do right, you will be accepted. That's what the Bible says. And if you have been doing wrongly, you've been doing business, lying so that you can make profit, listen to me, you are the son of Eli. And in one day, you will die. That is what Jesus Christ is telling us. But that again, don't let me forget to emphasize this. There is a redeeming power in the blood of Jesus. I will be doing you a great disservice if I don't remind you of that fact. That it is possible to enter into repentance, break off from your former works, and begin to do right. There is something I noticed, using medicine to explain this point. If a man smokes heavily, he has a high tendency, much higher than that of the people around him, to come down with cancer of the lungs. But it's been found out that if he stops smoking, with every passing year, the risk of his coming down with cancer begins to go down again towards the risk of those who have never smoked. That reminds me of the power, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. If you have done wickedly all your life and you are repenting at this time to start to do right, the curses in your life are permanently revoked. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? What have we said in all these things? One, curses are real. They dog a man's footsteps. They cause him to be frustrated. But two, there is a supreme power that kills all curses. And anyone who is of faith will bear fruit that is in keeping with repentance. That's what the Bible says. And that is, if you are a young man, don't wait till you are 50 to decide whether you are cursed or you are blessed. Decide today whether you will be cursed at that time or you will be blessed. I hope you've gotten the point I'm trying to make.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.